This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
If you're gonna play the game, boy, you gotta learn to play it right. You got to know when to hold 'em, know when to fold 'em. Walk away, and know when to run. You never count your money when you're sitting at the table. There'll be time enough for counting when the dealing's done.
You know, the bad news is that if you want to fold them now, you've already pushed all your chips in.
Yeah, bad time to fold them. Huh?
Yeah, this is maybe not the right time to fold them.
You know? Not going to win much money.
No. The Twitter question is brought to you by Mark's Jewelers. Mark's Jewelers are jewelers, not just jewelry resellers. Experience the difference at marks-jewelers.com. All right, Ike, here is the question. Which member of the Sixers are you most frustrated with? Embiid, Morey, or Josh Harris? What do you think the poll result on that is?
I just put Josh Harris in there just for...
Just to slow down some of the voting for Joel.
Siphon off some of the votes.
Most importantly, I want to thank our fans.
I would say 80% Embiid.
No.
No!
39% Embiid, 30% Morey, 30% Josh Harris.
Wow, divided up amongst everybody.
Yeah,
everybody
almost
gets
evenly
a piece
split.
Of the pie.
Yes, yes.
Okay.
So we'll talk about the future of Embiid and what that looks physically in a moment. 215-592-9494. Mad Mike makes his return, curiously absent over the last couple of weeks. Mad Mike, he's calling about the Sixers. We missed your take on Howie and Jalen and all that stuff, though. And Nick.
Hey, Nick's still a moron. Howie's still a rat-faced weasel, and Jalen is a fraud who just has a lot of toys around him.
Okay, all right.
Yeah. There we go. You call them two-time champions, Mad Mike. Hold up. And you know I love you, Mad Mike. Listen, you're a different type of phone caller, and we can appreciate you. But there's no way we could take your call without at least congratulating the Eagles on winning their second Super Bowl.
This is the most boring when this hound is happy. It's ridiculous.
Well,
congratulate the Eagles, Mike, on winning their second Super Bowl.
Absolutely not.
Oh my God.
We can't even get a congrats?
I didn't even ask you to say Howie. I didn't name out any individual. You're an Eagles fan, supposedly.
I don't know. I got to say this. I've done a lot of introspection. And I think I've kind of ruined my fandom, and now I'm angry forever.
You and Jack need to start a support group.
I turn it around, and I'm just a fraud, and I have to call myself out. So I'm just going to roll it out. And just
All right.
You've ruined your own fandom. Unbelievable.
I did. I mean, I was just like, you can't dig too deep. If you dig too deep, you're going to start to hate everything you like. And I did it to myself, and now I got to go down this course of just being Scrooge, and I got to shield my kids from it.
Don't punish the kids.
Look at this real moment of introspection from Mad Mike.
So anyway, it's good. I'm glad Embiid is done. Like, I'm getting the stinks. And I, you know, I've hated him ever since he told the fans to go F themselves or whatever. And I'm glad his knees are gone. And,
oh, come
you know,
on,
he
man.
Gets this $190 million extension, but he's a fraud. He's always been a fraud. Good riddance.
You good getting that out of your system, Mad Mike?
Wow.
Yeah. All right. There he is, Mad Mike. The return of a toothless Mad Mike. Truly a toothless Mad Mike.
Well, that was a nice moment for him, though.
It really was a moment of honesty, him saying that his negativity, because what happens is you start rooting for being right rather than rooting for the team.
Yep.
And I cannot relate to that.
Yeah. Right. And then you end up rooting against the Eagles because that makes your bit go away.
Yep.
Yeah, I hear you. Mm-hmm. So, Embiid, from a physical standpoint.
Yes.
So, I've been pretty consistent on this since the beginning of the season. He has said a couple of times, he has talked about fixing it, and he has talked about a surgery with a long recovery time. And we think we talked about this a bit on Friday. His condition in his knee is a chronic arthritic condition. So there is not, everyone keeps saying, well, just have the surgery and come back next year, the surgery. There is no the surgery to have. That is not an option. There, and this is one thing they were being truthful about. I think the Sixers, and I know I defend Morey a lot, they're hamstrung in what they can say about Embiid because he's always been very protective of injury information and, you know, what he can do and what he can't do. Here's the truth is that there is not a surgery to get that will fix his condition. He tore his meniscus twice. He had a meniscectomy twice where you take away a little piece of the meniscus. Some players, some people's knees recover well from that, go on just fine. You know, Quentin Grimes has had that surgery. Some players do not. Every doctor they talk to and every doctor that you don't talk to that has not looked at him will say the same thing, that if you play on it, your body can adjust, the bones in that joint can sort of harden, and that swelling that you're getting could stop happening, and you can manage it. And you will have instances, but his has been particularly bad. Unfortunately, there is not a surgery that you can have that can fix that. It's a condition. Now, there are sort of experimental is the wrong word, but just sort of like, hey, maybe this'll work procedures.
Well, it is experimental.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the surgery itself is an experimental, but whether it will work is a question, right?
Right.
So there is a hip surgery that they have talked about that could relieve stress on the knee that would have a 1 year recovery time, but they have no idea if it would work. There are like radiation therapies that they can do. They have no idea if it will work. He is not, from my understanding, that the surgery that Lonzo Ball had, which he had a meniscus replacement surgery. Mm-hmm. Embiid is not a candidate for that. He's too big. It won't work. And Lonzo Ball was out of basketball for 2 years, still looks like a shell of himself, and is playing 20 minutes a game. Mm-hmm. So, and that's a player who was much younger, much lighter, and in a better candidate for that.
So when did they discover this?
They knew about this. So this is not new. They knew about it. Here's the crux of this issue. Mm-hmm. The crux of this issue is that, and again, the doctors they talk to, go talk to another doctor. They will tell you, this is not perfect. This might not work. But for a lot of players, this is manageable. Like, this is not a condition that isn't manageable. You can look at the imaging of his knee and look at the imaging of a lot of other players' knees who have had the same condition, who are playing 70 games a year. And fine, sometimes they get swelling and they get it drained and then they get back in there. So they took the bet that they would be able to manage this. His knee has responded poorly. Now, in his history, he's been injured a lot, right? Mm-hmm. There are some players who recover better from injuries than others. And a lot of people look at the Olympics. I really don't think it had anything to do with it. Resting is not going to help his knee. Resting actually does the opposite of helping his knee.
Hold on.
Yes.
See, this is where we get confused.
Okay.
We as fans. You certainly seem more knowledgeable about this. And I'll trust you on this. But my whole thing is, you're telling me surgery can't fix it.
No.
Rest doesn't fix it.
No.
So it's really just a hope and a prayer that he can play sometimes. We'll see how long it lasts, but it could crop up and he'll be out. Because this is the reality of the situation. He's been out for extended periods of time. Like, extended periods of time. And it's hard for a fan to understand how – whatever procedure he got last year before the playoffs started.
He got the meniscus surgery.
Whatever that was, he decided to come back.
Yes.
Okay. There was, at least at the talk at that time, was he could have either this meniscus surgery or this meniscus replacement, or and it would take longer for him to come back. Why take the shorter option for a fruitless playoff run and a trip to play in the Olympics? Because that's what it seems like to fans why he did it.
So whether he could have – so there are two kinds of surgeries, theoretically, that you can have when you have a meniscus tear, mm-hmm. which is what you said. One is a repair. One is when they take the little piece of the meniscus out. They can't always do a repair. They did a repair on Jared McCain, but they don't know till they go in there whether they can repair it or not. So I don't know if that was an option. It isn't always an option. So
well, this is where...
And that's his choice,
sure,
by the way.
Sure,
and that's his choice.
This is where we as fans get left in the dark because we weren't told, well, if he does this, this isn't an option.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? So it's presented to us like this is an option. So he's doing this to come back for the team so he can come back and play in the playoffs. It'll give him a shorter recovery time. Like, it's presented to us like he's doing something to sacrifice for the betterment of the team, which ultimately that may have been what he was doing. But I'm saying from a big picture view, what he was going to do in the playoffs was never going to amount to anything significant. So why not take the other surgery? At least that's what we're thinking. Why
right.
not do the other surgery that may have corrected this?
Because it may not have. It may remember, he already had a meniscus. He had already meniscectomy on that same knee.
Sure.
So the fact that it was the second time may mean they couldn't repair it. And this is where I blame him, right?
Okay.
And this is where the team gets crushed for it. But this has been, you can look at Daryl, you can look at, you know, who the hell was before Daryl?
Who the hell was
Brand,
before
Daryl? Elton Brand.
Oh, Elton Brand.
who the hell was before Daryl?
Before that, Brian Colangelo.
Right.
Before that, Sam Hinkie.
Sam Hinkie, yeah.
It has always been the same issue with Embiid. They don't know. And this is one thing that the critics of him are right, and I was wrong, in that he thinks, for whatever reason, he makes this worse for everyone. Publicly, he makes it worse for everyone because people don't actually know what's going on.
Right.
And at the end of the day, the sympathy that he may get, he doesn't get because he doesn't allow the team, he doesn't allow us to know what's actually going on.
Yeah.
So it would benefit all of us to know, hey, doctors went in there, they decided that they couldn't repair the meniscus, this
right.
was the only surgery he could have.
Right.
And then the reason they decide to do it over the summer is the best, give him the extension, double down on all that, is the best you can do is you can say, hey, other players around the league deal with this. And not everyone's able to deal with it, but enough players around the league are able to deal with this. We think there is a world where he can deal with this. And just every time he plays, it swells up. Every time he plays. And it's not like once a month it swells up. As you can see, every time he plays three games in a row, he's out. That's what happened now. That's why he's out again. And that's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Like, he misses extended periods of time. So, okay, that's one thing.
Okay.
So I think the biggest thing that I get from fans that tweeted me about this and the complaints is, and maybe we'll get to this, you may want to wait to later get to it, the extension.
Yes.
Because that's what people are like, okay, say I take all that at face value, everything mm-hmm. you just said.
Sure. Yep.
Whatever. They didn't know, whoop-de-whoop. Why wasn't there a level of concern and caution to give him three more years, to put yourself in a position that not just to get out of this contract eventually, even if you got to ride it out till it's over with at the 2 years, but to give him three more years considering all this. This is where the organization gets the blame because, yeah, the player, this, that, and the other, and he calls the shots. Okay, you can't do anything about the contract you've already given him, but you do control whether or not you give him more years.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. Five times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I agree with you. Now, not because, so I don't get corrected again. Essentially a 2-year extension. He had 2 years and an option left. So,
okay, yeah.
He essentially had 3 years and they essentially gave him 2 more years.
Okay.
So this is what, this would be the answer to that. And again, I agree with you that even when the extension happened, I said on the podcast a few times, why do you have to give it to him now? Why do you have to give it to him now? Is that if you're asking him to go recruit a star player, now we can look back in retrospect and say Paul George was the wrong guy, but they wanted Paul George. If you're going to go back and build around him and you want him to recruit other players, you got to give him the extension. So now,
well, the flaw is that you still believe and you can build around.
Yes.
That's the flaw. There it is.
So the right move wasn't to not give him an extension. But the right move in retrospect would have been to trade Joel Embiid last offseason and to say, we don't want to give you an extension. And this happens.
That's what Dallas did.
That's what Dallas did.
Because they got to get Luka a max extension this summer.
And we're killing them now. Just imagine if the year after Joel Embiid won MVP, we traded him.
Yeah.
I would have gone ballistic.
Well, you would have, but some people would have been happy.
Yes, some people would have been happy. Yeah. Well, if they got one draft pick in Anthony Davis, I don't know how happy they would have been. But I agree that the move in these situations, I have respect for what the Mavericks did, if for no other reason that they said, we don't believe that this guy's going to last.
Right.
We're going to do this a year early rather than a year late. The Sixers are now dealing with this a year late, and they're screwed. They are screwed. There's no where everyone's like, well, just trade him. Okay, go find a team.
You can't trade him now.
Yes, go find a team that wants him. So now this could end up looking like the end of Ryan Howard's contract, where you had this player who was
a great example, one
of the best players you've ever seen, and all we talked about for the last 3 years of Ryan Howard, we all like to look at Ryan Howard, think about how much we love him today. All we did was we killed Ruben Amaro for giving the extension, and all Ryan Howard was a weight around our necks for 3 years, you know, after the Achilles injury. Mm-hmm. So then that's the situation they're in.
Five years.
They may be, oh my God, that's even worse.
2011, 2016. Yeah.
We may be in a situation where literally the best thing to do is to pay him and he just sits there and watches games from his home, which is truthfully, in this depressing situation, the most depressing thing. 215-592-9494. Nick in Collegeville, you're on WIP. What's up, Nick?
Listen, I hate to call today to clean family business. You can't let that dude, that big ass fraud, Mike, on the radio without holding him to the Chuck from Mount Airy stand.
Well, he only calls like once a month,
if that.
Yeah.
It doesn't. But here's they won the Super Bowl. They didn't just win 5 games in a row or 8 games in a row. This dude's been ripping them since 1978. All right, since your dad was on the phone. I mean, on the radio. So you can't. That was absurd, man.
Should we ban him?
He should be banned until he says, until his first 3 sentences are, I'm mad, Mike. I'm a goofball. And I'll give the Eagles credit. And then he can start ripping them.
Right.
So great about mad Mike.
Okay.
I feel you.
You're right, Nick. Listen, that's on us. That's on me and Spike.
Yeah, that's on us. I think we all just heard Mad Mike and felt a little bit of sympathy in that we've all been there. You know, you go so hard on a take and you're like, you start cheering for the take rather than the team.
Nobody goes as hard as Mad Mike, though.
No, well.
Here's the difference. Like, we'll use, even though I have 2 brain cells and one is on vacation most of the time, I use at least a brain cell to come up with a take. Doesn't matter how wrong or how hard or hard I go for it. He goes, he goes to the casino 30 days in a row, right? I can go to the casino 29 days straight and lose. I mean, he's been saying there's 32 teams. They're all going to lose except for one.
Yes.
He's going to come on for 10 years and go, they suck.
Yeah, my podcast partner says it's very easy to bet that that a team won't win a championship.
Yeah,
you're going to be right most of the time.
Most of the time,
Dude, you're a genius. You're the best that ever did it then.
Right.
Well, I just got to get this off my chest. I was anti Ben. I never understood.
Yep.
I got a Magic Johnson in 2018. Like, for what reason do I need a Magic Johnson in 2018? Unless I got the Golden State Warriors of 2015.
Right.
So I would ride hard for Joel, but this dude, man, he left me holding a bag. Like, seriously. See, He had a great, you're right, Ike. He had three great seasons. Possibly he was the best player 3 years in a row. And he did that without taking his craft seriously. What happened if he really took his craft seriously during the offseason? What would those 3 years look like?
Here's the thing, Nick. I think he didn't take his body seriously. His game got better every yeah. I agree, and I kill Iverson for it, and I can't not kill know Embiid for it. Yeah. He whatever chance he had, because we might be in the same situation anyway. But whatever chance he had to make the best out of his body, he screwed up. Now, maybe he took it from maybe there was a 20% chance of it happening if he did everything right, and now there's a 5% chance of it ever happening. So we may have been in this situation, but you can't look back. And I would say this as well, him treating his body that way, it sets a standard for the rest of the team, and it's part of why I look at this team this year. And when they're not trying, I almost can't blame them, because they all got here to play around this one guy who doesn't seem to take his body seriously enough to be there either. So if he's going to be your best player, he's the most talented guy I've ever seen in a Sixers uniform. Honestly, I've never seen anything like it. But I didn't see Wilt. Wilt wasn't shooting threes, by the way. Only shot 50% from the line.
The low post, man.
Yeah. I agree with you. I think he took his game seriously. He added something to his game. He became a better passer late in his career. He was legitimately maybe the most unstoppable scorer in the league.
There's no question.
Yes. And the skills.
The talent, the skill is no question.
He didn't take his body seriously enough. And I'll tell you when it pissed me off as well is when he would joke about it. When he would come back and they'd be like, hey, are you taking your conditioning and food seriously? And he'd laugh about it. I'm like, brother, and a lot of players get the advantage of when they get older, like Kyle Lowry did this. When Kyle Lowry hit 30, he started taking it more seriously. Well, when you're 6 feet tall and your body's not falling apart, it's easier to do that later in your career. Mm-hmm. If Joel realizes it, he realizes it way too late, and he has wasted whatever opportunity he has had to be he's one of the greatest players, but to be a legendary player. There's something in his mentality, there's something in his personality that he does not have, and he did not commit himself to it, and I agree with you there.
Real quick, is it your buddy Mike Florio that says, when Brett Brown was here, if you teach a team to lose, then it's impossible to teach them to win. And that's what Joel did. Joel, because he didn't take his body seriously, everybody else could come in. Look, what Maxie's doing now, you got to love him, because he didn't get all that bad juju from the best player on his team.
Right.
He works hard every day and works at his craft and works at his body every day.
I agree with you. I agree. Tyrese Maxey, as far as a work ethic, as far as taking care of his body in terms of attitude, hard work, bringing it every night and bringing it in practice in the off season, he is exemplary with that. The frustrating part is that imagine if Tyrese Maxey was 7-1. You know what I mean?
And he can't help that.
Yes.
He can't
yes.
help that. But Joel can help
yes.
what he does during the offseason.
I couldn't agree with you more.
I need Tate to kick Dom to get 12 straight minutes without rebuttal.
As long as he doesn't bring up Tobias Harris.
Well, Tobias.
He told me, thank you for the call, Nick. He said on Friday that Tobias is a better low post player than Joel was, and Tobias needed 7 post ups a game last year. That part,
a little bit of a stretch there.
Well, hold on. You see the Pistons record this year?
I know.
Yeah.
But do you know every one of Tobias Harris's numbers is worse than it was last year?
Yeah, well, listen. His wins are up.
His wins are up.
I was told that's all it matters.
Yeah, right?
He's a winner,
He's
man.
A winner. He's a winner.
Exactly right.
He's a winner.
Don't even look at the stats.
Yes, he is a winner. We will continue to talk about Joel, unfortunately, through the rest of the day. 215-5.
You having fun in there, buddy?
Oh, yeah, tons of fun.
Come on. This is your time.
You know what? It is. I know we're mad and every right to be. I am sad. I am sad that an era of one of our teams, which had so much promise, that brought so much excitement, is ending this way. is ending not with a thud, not with a trade demand, not with a, you know, a disappointing loss in the finals, just a sputter out as the main guy just can't stay on the court anymore. And we're left
This is worse.
Look at it. It's a billion times worse.
I was like, yeah, this is worse. I'd take a disappointing loss in the finals.
This is torture. Yeah. We're going to be reminded of this every year until 2029 as we see his salary cap number. And we will look back at some point and talk about how great he was, but he will ultimately be remembered for not achieving what he could have achieved.
Oh, I don't know if there's a bigger what if.
It's because sometimes you see prospects and you think, what if? Oh, what if that? He did it. You know, so
right, you got a chance to see it. Right.
A year, 13 months ago, he was averaging 36 points, 12 rebounds, and 5 assists.
Yeah.
And he could have won the MVP again 13 months ago. And here it was just in a year. It could be over. We will continue to talk about 215-592-9494. But, Ike.
Yes.
AJ Brown went on another podcast.
Oh, my man is still rolling.
The AJ Brown media tour continues.
Yeah, he's on tour. He's still rolling.
He didn't get invited to Fallon, so he's going to go on every podcast in America. AJ, if you want to come on the Ricky, we're available. High hopes. Would you have AJ, Jack?
Or you can come on the afternoon show.
Yeah. Yes, you can come on the afternoon show.
Come on and sit on in with us.
4 hours.
1 year anniversary.
We get lunch and everything for you.
Yes. It's been almost exactly, yesterday was exactly
a year where Jack unwound your butt cheeks. Well, we found out Jack wasn't the one who really ticked him off. It was Spike.
Right. It was me. But Jack stood in there like a soldier,
guy. It was the whole time. Wasn't nervous at all.
So we will find out what AJ said on $1 million worth of game. He did talk about his relationship with Jalen. He talked about rivalries. He talked about what it's like when you're winning the game, but you're not getting the ball. And we'll relive that moment from a year ago when AJ Brown was on the WIP Afternoon Show. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.